This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Open your Bible with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 43 through 50. And we'll pick up there. My son, Avon, is with some of our family, and they are in Utah, and they've been traveling and sending me pictures. They're in canyons and walking the narrows and doing all kind of crazy stuff. And I said, how in the world is my seven-year-old getting to do all that, and Daddy's here at home, you know? But the favor of God is on that boy, and so it's been fun. So our family's been traveling. We know some of you guys have been traveling. It's amazing, though, that God has been doing great things in the middle of the summer. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as the service goes along. Title of this message, so in that vein of God wanting to do more in our lives, I feel like God spoke this to me, the title, someone say greater things. That God has greater things for your family. He has greater things for your finances, greater things for your career, greater things if your physical body, whatever it may be, God has greater things for you now and ahead of you. And I believe that'll make so much more sense as we get through this. So let's read this together. John chapter 1, verses 43 through 50. And man, you can continue to help me as I read the Bible because you just make me sound so much better, so much more spiritual. I appreciate it. Come on, give it up for Sal, everybody. Give it up for Sal. All right. John chapter 1, verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip. Notice that. He found Philip, and he said to him, follow me. Someone say, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip then found Nathanael. And he said to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then notice Nathanael's response. He said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come on, somebody. Philip said to him, come and see. Someone say, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, behold, an Israelite in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said, how do you know me? I've never seen you. You've never seen me. How do you know who I am? Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. Wow, there's going to be something there, I think, for all of us in just a moment. But how many of you know Jesus has seen us in our lowest moment? When you feel like nobody cares, he sees you and he's got a plan to get you out of it. Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You will see greater things than these. How many of you know when you live with Jesus, you're going to see greater things than these? Hallelujah. Y'all sounding lively this morning. I like it. It could be fun in church this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that you will speak to us from your word. God, I ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to minister to each and every person. God, you know every need. You know every situation. Thank you, Father, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word, that you would minister faith. God, I thank you that expectation would be raised, expectation in you for greater things. God, we thank you that your anointing destroys heaviness and bondages on people's lives. God, if people came in heavy, we ask you to bring healing and deliverance and freedom to them, to where we leave differently. We're transformed by the power of your word and the anointing of your spirit. And Father, we thank you that by your grace, we purpose in our hearts to be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. All right, thank you so much. So here we see Philip encountering the presence of Jesus. He came up to Jesus. Jesus came up to him. And he encountered the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said to Philip, follow me. And this is where now Jesus is calling Philip. So you've heard of the gifts and the callings of God, that God has a supernatural calling or a destiny or an assignment for every person on the planet. He's got a plan and a destiny for you and for your family and each person that is on the planet. The question is not, does God have a calling on your life? You can be called to be a doctor. You can be called by God to be a doctor. You can be called by God to be in law enforcement. You can be called by God to be in construction. You can be called by God to be in education. You can be called by God to be in McDonald's. Come on, somebody. I mean, come on, started at the bottom, now I'm here. Come on, man, start working as making some fries and end up owning that joker. Come on, somebody. I mean, but whatever it is, wherever you are, God has a call on your life to get you from where you are to a life that is better than you could ever dream of. Amen. The Bible says, "He now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think." So God's call, no matter where you are right now, all you've got to do is do what Philip did. He just got into the presence of Jesus, got near Jesus, and Jesus called him and said, "Follow me." The calling of God is always first for every person, follow Jesus. When you begin to follow Jesus, his call and his assignment, his destiny for your life begins to unfold from that moment. So the good news is, whether you're brilliant and a rocket scientist, or whether you're, maybe school wasn't your thing and you don't feel like you have all the education and all the background to be successful, doesn't matter what side of the tracks you come from, the good news is all you got to do is start following Jesus. And when you follow Jesus, his plan and his calling on your life begins to unfold. Somebody say amen. The Bible says in Matthew 20:16, many are called, but few are chosen. So what is the difference between, if everybody's called and everybody has a call of God upon their life, what is the difference between those who walk in the call of God upon their life and those who don't? It is very simple. Those who walk in the call of God upon their life choose to follow Jesus. I know that sounds simple, but it's a simple in principle, but it's a lot more difficult in walking that reality out. Because sometimes following Jesus isn't the popular thing to do. Sometimes following Jesus, you're going to get a little pushback from certain friends and from certain family members. What do you mean you're following Jesus? What do you mean you're going to church? What do you mean you're giving of your time and your talent and your treasure and you're giving to God and you're spending all this time with God? And sometimes you can get pushback because they don't realize that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where in the world would I be? And so now, because he first loved me, now I choose to give my life back to him. I have decided I am going to follow after Jesus. And when you make that decision to follow after Jesus, you're going to follow him in good times. You're going to follow him in the tough times. And one thing I found out with Jesus, if it's tough right now, just keep on following him, because I'm going through something. Amen. Come on, I heard somebody say, "I'm just going through some hard times." I said, "Keep going, baby." Y'all didn't catch that? Going through some hard times? Well, just keep going, because you'll end up through it. Amen? So you got to follow Jesus. And as you do, God's calling upon your life, God's assignment, God's destiny upon your life begins to be revealed. And listen to me. When you walk and call in God's calling upon your life, God's assignment, God's destiny upon your life, there is a sense of fulfillment in that place that you can find nowhere else. And so you want to do this. And so Philip finds himself now walking with Jesus and following Jesus. Verse 45, it says, Philip found Nathanael. As a result of following Jesus, Philip found Nathanael. He followed, and then he found. I have found, when you follow Jesus, you can't wait to find others to tell about his goodness. Because you know, there's people in my family that need to hear about Jesus. There's people in my neighborhood that need to hear about Jesus. There's my friends need to hear about Jesus. And it doesn't mean that you got to go preach at them and go do whatever. But you just live life in such a way, with such joy and with such faith and with such goodness, that when they get around you, they sense the life of Jesus on the inside of you. They sense they're happy and they shouldn't be happy. They're going through tough times, but yet they still got a smile on their face. And you say, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? How are you making it? I'm making it because if God be for me, who in the world can be against me? How are you making it through? Because I found out nothing is impossible to them that believe. Am I talking to anybody in this church that can testify that because God is for you, now you're winning when you should be losing? Now you're prospering, you're succeeding when you shouldn't be, because God makes up the difference. I found out you and Jesus are more than a majority against anything you face. Someone said, "My God, I came to the excited church today." Hallelujah. But we just, sorry, forgive us. We just still believe Jesus is a big deal. And so he found Nathanael, and he began to tell Nathanael about Jesus. He said, "Nathanael, you got to come see. Jesus is here. The one that Jeremiah prophesied is coming." The one that Isaiah prophesied is coming. The one that Lamentations prophesied is coming. The one that Ezekiel prophesied, he's coming. The one that Moses prophesied, he's coming. The one all the way back in Genesis prophesied, he's coming. Hallelujah. Because even in Genesis said, you bruised his heel, but he shall bruise your head. All through the Bible, I feel like preaching just for a minute, because in Micah, he prophesied that the Savior's coming. In Nahum, he prophesied that the Savior's coming. In Malachi, he prophesied that the Savior is coming. He shall rise with healing in his wings. Every book of the Bible, they were prophesying. In Zephaniah, he prophesied Jesus is coming. In Zechariah, he prophesied Jesus is coming. They were always pointing to a day when the Savior would come to the world and save the world from their sins. And all of a sudden, Philip shows up to Nathanael and said, every one of them that Isaiah said, Ezekiel said, Lamentations said, Malachi said, Zephaniah said, you know, they all said he's coming. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is here. Ah, I feel like preaching just for a moment right now. Come on, the devil may be telling you he ain't coming. He ain't coming to your marriage. He ain't coming to your family. He ain't coming for you. He's not going to help you with your finances. But I came to call the devil a liar and say, not only is he coming, Jesus is here right now. And we shall see greater things than this. I prophesy he's moving in your family. I prophesy he's moving in your money. I prophesy he's moving in your career. Does anybody believe we're about to see greater things than this? Somebody say greater things. Remember last week I testified when we were receiving the tithe and the offering about how a young lady and her family began to come to the church. I feel God in this place. How a young lady and her family began to come to church, and the older sister got saved and began to step away from the lifestyle that she was in and really began to serve God and love God, began to tithe, began to give, and began to get connected in the church. And then her mom came back and began to serve the Lord, and now she's bringing her two other younger sisters. And the younger sister, she's in college. The younger sister's in high school. She just graduated high school, and she said, Pastor, I didn't know how I was going to go to college. I have a heart to go on and go further in education and be used by God in that field. And I said, let's go for it. And she said, I didn't know how I was going to pay for it, but God gifted me in poetry. And so she began to write poetry. She began to be recognized by the mayor of Salinas, by Ana Caballero, by different people in the political world. And they were taking her to large gatherings of women. And she was giving this poetry, talking about how she came from a mixed family, black and white, and what that did. And she said, even a judge came up to her mom and said, I never knew how my daughter felt, because my daughter is mixed too. I'm telling you, she's writing this poetry coming from a deep place, anointed by God, and now it's touching hundreds and thousands of people. And she said, I knew that I could get a $1,500 scholarship, so I went to Heart Now, and I found out, okay, I got that $1,500. Jesus, thank you, because I get to go to school this year, and it's paid for. And then she said, I knew I applied for some other scholarships, so I went and I looked at those, and she's like, I started going down the list, and by the time I was done, I had close to $15,000 in scholarships. Don't patty cake when you come to this church. Don't patty cake when you come to this church. I wonder if we can give God a moment of praise. Someone say greater things. See, it's not over because I just talked to the mom this morning. I said it's not over because I just talked to the mama this morning. And she said, you know, Pastor Jason, how you gave the testimony last week? She said, well, this week. We're talking about greater things. Because some of you have been in hell and you need some greater things, my God, just to survive, my God. Others of you have had a really good time. You've had a great season, and God's still saying, whether you've been in hell or whether it's been going well, I'm still the God of greater things. Oh, my God. I could preach right there, but I'm just going to let it ride. Ah. Right? And so she said, just this week, she had a full page article in the Herald. People began to, now they're going to take her to further places. Now she's being speaking in front of bigger audiences. God is using her. We're going to use her here at Celebration too. Come on, somebody. Come on, man. Take your gift out there. Use your anointing out there. But you go come up in God's house and use it too. Hallelujah. Remember where you got saved? No. Remember me. She's like, Pastor, when I'm on TV, I'm going to remember Celebrate. I said, and Pastor Jason. No, I'm just kidding. And so she began to tell me about how this blessing after blessing, and I can't even tell you everything else because it was so many things. I was sitting there listening to this testimony and her family and their finances and the daughter being blessed. And now her other daughter is in nursing school. You ought to give God some praise. You should have seen where their life was a year ago and where it is today. I am grateful. I may not be where I'm going, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be either because he's brought me a mighty long way. Somebody say amen. I love this. And so Nathaniel now is now following. Nathaniel is reticent. And when I was growing up, I was taught, you know, I grew up in religious circles, and my parents weren't religious, but people around them were, and my parents were the pastors, and people around them, they used to make me mad because they would say, Jason, you need to be the example, and I was not an example. I was the exact opposite. I was the example of what not to do. You came to church, you're like, don't pay any attention to the pastor's kid, he's a devil. No, I'm just... Not really, but I was not going to church for the right reasons. I was trying to, listen, man, should I tell my story? Y'all ain't gonna judge me. We don't have a religious church, but so anyway, I was not the example, and I did crazy stuff, and my dad would just lovingly beat me. No, I'm just kidding. He took that scripture to heart. Spare the rod, spoil the child. Ow, in the name of Jesus. No, just. He didn't, man. He loved me. My mom and dad loved me unconditionally. Don't get me wrong. He was big and strong, and he handled his business. And he lovingly did not spare the rod. But many times he would love me when I deserved something else, he would love me. And what that did is it softened my heart because I had people in the church telling me how I should act. And I looked at them, and I said, I look at you, and your life doesn't look very good either. Quit telling me what to do. You know, when you're a pastor's kid, you're not supposed to say stuff like that. And I did it, but I thought it. You know what I mean? In my mind, I got one finger telling you you're number one. You know what I mean? But anyway, it's not about me. But we grew up in these religious circles, and they taught us that if unbelievers came in and they had questions, then they weren't worth your time. And it was just kind of either you believe or you don't, and just real hardcore. And everybody's going to hell. Everybody. I was going to hell because I went to a movie. I said, send me to hell because I'm watching a movie. Hallelujah. You know, I was going to hell if I went to a movie. I was going to hell if I went to mall. I was going to hell if I saw something or heard something. I just thought, I grew up thought, I'm going to hell. Like, I'm just. And it was just, and my parents did not preach this. My parents did not believe this. They believed the Bible. But religious people, sometimes they mean well, but they try to put all kinds of rules and regulations on you. When they're not, people don't care about the rules and regulations. They care about, does my Savior love me? Because I found out, once you find out how much God loves you and the price he paid for you, then I live for him not because I have to. I live for him because I want to. Hallelujah. And so Nathaniel had this question, and here at this church, we invite the questions. We invite people who don't know about God, who are not sure that they believe in God, who are not sure about all this God thing. They're not sure about all this God thing and this believing thing and this faith in God stuff. It's okay if you have questions, because here's what I found out. God is not offended by your questions. God is not offended by you not understanding. God is not offended by you saying, you know what, I've had crazy things happen in my life, and how could a good God let bad things happen to me? He can help you answer those questions. Don't be afraid if you have questions, because God's not offended by your questions. In fact, he's the only one that has answers for those questions. Somebody say amen. Come on, we need everybody coming into this church. Come on, we've seen atheists, so-called, come in and be baptized and be saved and serve God. We've seen people from every kind of lifestyle come in and begin to find out. You know what they heard? They heard the gospel. You know what gospel is? It's good news. Man, the Bible is good news. The gospel message is a message of good news. To who? To everybody. The Bible is good news to everyone. And so Nathaniel has these questions, and he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Let's break it down to where you live. Can anything good come out of your life? Can anything good come out of your marriage? Some of you are like, oh, Jesus, that'd be a miracle. Hallelujah. Can anything good come out of your financial status? Can anything good come out of your future? Can anything good come out of this city? Can anything good come out of what you are doing with your life? If you have these questions, if you have the questions silently because things have been tough, things have been rough, you have the questions, can anything good come out of my life? Because it just seems like negative things continue to happen. Am I talking to anybody in here? Can anything good come out of my life? If you're asking these questions, Jesus is standing here this morning, and all he's saying to you is, all you have to do is come and see. Come and see that I have a plan for you. Come and see that he bore my sicknesses and carried away my pains, and the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Come and see that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, and every tongue you shall condemn. Come and see that if God be for you, who in the world can be against you? Come and see that he'll make your feet like hinds' feet and cause you to walk on high places. Come and see that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Come and see that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Come and see that I'll heal your body. Come and see that I'll deliver your family. Come and see that I can save your family. Come and see you and your household shall be saved. Come and see that there are greater things to come. Come on, celebration. I think we need a word from God to go out this week and begin to tell everybody in Salinas, you got to come and see Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. Mm-hmm. So he said, can anything good come out of that? And then Nathanael sees Jesus. Jesus come and said, Nathanael, an Israelite in whom was no deceit. There's no way Jesus could have known who he was. No way Jesus could have known who his character is. Never met him before except by supernatural revelation. This was God. This was miraculous power working in Jesus. And all of a sudden, Nathanael went hood. He got ghetto for a second. He was like, who this? Who do you think you are? How you know me? You think you know me? You don't know me. Straight up boys in the hood. You know, I don't know, whatever. Right? Like he got all ghetto. What? How you know me? It's kind of weird when someone knows stuff about you and you don't know how they know it. How you know? You think you know? You don't know me. Who is this dude? And then Jesus was like, Nathanael, before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree. The fig tree is unproductive areas. Oh, y'all. Because I remember in Mark 11, Jesus came to the fig tree and he said, you should have fruit on you, because it had leaves that showed that it had fruit. And Jesus was hungry and he walked up to the tree and he moved the leaf and there was no fruit. And Jesus is saying, quit trying to look like you have fruit and just let me develop fruit. See, we like to come to church and act like we have it. God says, I just need you to be real, because when I move the leaves, there's no fruit there. Just let me develop the fruit in you. And so it was an unproductive fig tree. And where do we find Philip? I'm sitting under the fig tree. I'm sitting under the unproductive areas of my life. I'm sitting in depression. I'm sitting in discouragement. I'm sitting in the abuse. And Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. I saw the abuse. I saw what happened in your past. I saw the rejection of your past. I've seen the depression that you've been through. And Jesus is saying, but I'm here today, Philip, to let you know I have a plan for you, and I can redeem everything the devil meant for evil. I can turn it and work it for your good. And then Philip was like, oh, snaps. My bad, Jesus. You are the king. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And the Bible says Nathanael began to follow him. And then Jesus said this. Well, let me make sure that I get you to catch this last thing. Come on, are you getting anything out of this? All right, so notice now. Jesus now tells Nathanael. He says, now you believe because I showed you, I have supernatural revelation about you, that there's no way on earth I could have it unless it came by supernatural revelation. Do you know Jesus knows things about you you don't even know about yourself? And he has answers for you that no one else on the planet has. People looking in bottles for answers. People looking in syringes for answers. People looking in legal marijuana substance abuse for answers. Okay, I'm not trying to belittle, but we do need to realize he is still, Jesus is still the healer. Jesus is still the deliverer. Jesus is still the one who has the answers that no bottle has, that no syringe has, that no pill has. Come on, somebody. I'm not against medication. If you do that, use that. But don't do that instead of believing Jesus. Do that and believe Jesus. The Bible says he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all of our destruction. Right, Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For my words are life to those who find them, and they are medicine to all your flesh. The word in your Bible will say that God's words are health to all your flesh. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means medicine. That means right now you're taking some medicine. And you know what I found out? This right here. God's medicine will work if you have already been sick. You start listening to the word of God on healing and how Jesus is your healer and how our redemption is twofold. It's not just salvation, but it's also healing. It's also redemption from spiritual death. And that's huge. And you build your faith. And so if you're sick, that word can get in you. How many of you know the word of God can get in you? Like, I've never understood the logic that says God's word can get in me and take me from a spiritual dead person, unsaved, in darkness, right? But the word of God now can get in me and make me a new creation in Christ Jesus. And now my spirit is filled with God, alive to God, so it can get in me in the eternal part of me, but it can't get in me in the natural part of me. I've never understood the logic that God, your word can change my spirit, but it can't change my body. If the word of God can change the eternal part of me, it can also change the temporal part of me. Amen. Last I checked, the Bible is not a buffet. I can't pick salvation and leave healing out because I don't understand it. I can't pick joy but leave peace out because I'm not experiencing it. If it's all on the menu, I believe we can have it all. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But he says, you shall see greater things. Someone say greater things. Greater things. And what am I talking about, greater things? Greater things in your marriage. Greater things in your prayer life. Greater things in your relationship with Jesus. Greater things in your finances. Come on, somebody. Greater things in your future. Greater things in this church. Greater miracles. Greater power. Greater anointing upon your life. Greater things. God has greater things for you, for me, for this church. But we have to believe. Someone say believe. And I believe God is saying it can be greater in your life. And here's the reason why we need to be reminded of these things is because the devil is constantly trying to nick at you and poke at you and bring situations and discouragement to your mind and say it's not going to get any better. It's never going to change. Things just keep getting worse and worse. But God's saying, no, no, no. That is momentary. That is temporal. But the thing that is not temporary is eternal, is my word. And my word says you're going to see greater things than this. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Now let me prove it to you from the Bible. Haggai 2 verse 9 says the glory of this latter temple, the latter house, the latter church, it shall be greater. Someone say greater. Because we're talking about greater things. The glory of the latter church shall be greater. The latter church is you and me. The former church is the Old Testament, what God did in the Old Testament. The latter church is what happened when Jesus was the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we are. Say we are. We are the latter church, and God is prophesying to you and to me. I don't care how bad it's been. I don't care that the devil says it's going to be worse and worse, because the word of God to you is, shall be greater. Shall be greater. The glory of this church, the glory of celebration, the glory of your life shall be greater. Someone shout, shall be greater. Shall be greater. shall be greater than the former. Shall be greater. Listen, I'm talking about your future. It shall be greater. Talking about your family. It shall be greater. Talking about your finances. It shall be greater. Talking about you. You shall be greater. Does anybody believe the word of God to you that we're going to see greater things than this? Job chapter 8, verse 7. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end shall be greater. Come on, somebody. Your latter end shall greatly increase. In other words, you could say, though your beginning was small, your latter end shall be greater. Greater things. God is preaching to you and to me that with God, the best is always yet to come. The greater day, God never shows his best hand first. He always saves the best for last. Let me prove it to you one more time or two more times just so that you have several witnesses from the word of God that you can build your faith on and begin to get in faith as a church, as a people, individual, that God's plan for your life is greater things to come. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8. The end of a thing is greater than the beginning. The end of a thing is greater than the beginning. So your life, this church, your family, your career, even though the devil may be saying, even though you may be going through circumstances, even though it looks like it's getting worse, the promise of God to you is the end of a thing is greater than the beginning of a thing. Okay, this is part of God's nature. This is part of how God does things. When you follow Jesus, the end of it's always, the latter is always greater than the former. This is important for us to realize because we can wake up believing today we're going to go to church and see greater things. We're going to see God. Come on, come on, come on. We can see blind eyes open. We can see the sick healed. We can see miracles happen in people's marriages. Man, my family and I have been on the mission field in the Philippines. And this last time I went, I remember I laid hands on a lady. The Bible says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I laid hands on a lady and she was blind. She was an older lady and the compassion of God rose up on the inside of me. And I laid my hands on her and I said, I commanded the blindness to leave, from what I remember. I commanded the blindness to leave in Jesus' name. And I said, be healed in the name of Jesus. And I just kept my hands there. And when I removed my hands, she blinked like that and her eyes got big. And she said, I can see now. My God is still a miracle-working God. We have seen too many people healed. We have seen too many people saved. We have seen too many people delivered to stop believing now. No, church, we're a church that believes that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're about to see greater things than this. Come on, somebody shout yes. Hallelujah. And we could give testimony after testimony after testimony of different pastors and people up here praying after service, grabbing hands and agreeing together and believing God for families. We've seen marriages restored. We've seen people in the divorce court and God get a hold of them and put their marriage back together. And now the kids have both mom and dad in the house. Come on, somebody. And it doesn't matter whether you've been divorced, whether you've been married, whether you've been remarried. Come on. I mean, the woman that Jesus dealt with had been married 5 times. Come on, somebody. Don't matter where you are at. What matters is that you realize Jesus has the power to forgive and to restore. We have seen God do great things in this church. This building, I mean, if I could tell you, it should have cost over $1 million to renovate. It cost us $100,000. You can patty cake if you want to, but that's a $900,000 miracle manifestation of God because our God is faithful. And if he did that in the past, James, the greater things. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Abraham. I'm going to talk a little bit about, I want to see the greater things, but I've messed up too much. Can't see the greater things because I've messed up. God can't do it for me. Well, let's see what happens from Scripture. Abraham was a moon worshiper and a liar. But yet that didn't keep him from experiencing the greater things God had for him. He became the wealthiest man in the nation, and he is known now for the blessing of God. He is now the father of faith, a moon worshiper and a liar. But yet still he was able to come to Jesus and receive the greater things that God had for him. Moses was a murderer and a stutterer. A murderer and a stutterer. But yet still, it didn't keep him from experiencing the greater things that God had for him. He was used by God, you know the story, to lead God's people out of Pharaoh's oppressive rule and into a new life of freedom. Joseph was rejected by his family, sold into slavery, falsely accused, thrown into prison. But yet still, a criminal wasn't kept from the good things God had for him. God took him from the pit to the palace, and then from the prison to the second in command in the whole nation. David was overlooked by his family, labeled as unimportant by his family, left out of the anointing party when Samuel came to anoint the next king of Israel, committed adultery, but yet still didn't keep David from experiencing the greater things that God had for him. He became a man after God's own heart. He became the greatest king the world has ever known outside of Jesus Christ. And even Jesus Christ responded when he was identified as the son of David. Wow. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, cut people's ears off, cussed at people, just like you. No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Someone's like, he's a prophet. Oh, Lord, ask him for forgiveness right now in your seat. Hallelujah. That's a weird feeling when the preacher starts talking about stuff you've been messing with, you know? See how it gets quiet? Y'all got real nervous. Be like, stop right there cussing because, you know, I didn't do that one, but the other ones, like. My dad and I used to listen a lot to a preacher, and he grew up in church, and he saw some really humorous, charismatic things happen, charismatic church stuff. And so he said, man, he was like me, pastor's kid. Pastor's kids get a bad rap. There's a lot of great pastor's kids from the time they're babies to all the way through life. A lot of great ones. I have a redemption story. So there was another pastor, a kid, and he's like me, and they'd be out going crazy, partying on Saturday night, and they were in a spirit-filled church. And he said, I used to get scared when this big old huge man came in our church. He was a prophet. And back in the day, it was a small church. They would just come in and boom, bust the doors open. And he said, as soon as the prophet bust the doors open, every kid in the church started praying. Because they didn't want the prophet calling them out on their sin. Some of y'all spirit-filled people know what I'm talking about. You're having hot sweats and flashbacks right now. Like, oh, Jesus. Right? And so he said, I've been out sinning. I've been out going crazy Saturday night. And the next Sunday night, my dad said I had to be in church. And so I'm there at church, and I'm with my friend. We've both been out sinning the night before. And he said, boom, here come this big old prophet. And he said he saw him walking. He go, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And then his friend nudged him. He said, hey, you're dead meat, bro. You're dead meat. And so he said, when the prophet was walking down, he snuck out into the lobby. And he said, Lord, forgive me for what I did last night. And Lord, you said, if I ask for forgiveness, you forget it. And if you forget it, you can't tell him about it. Come on, somebody. You got to know how to work the system when you're going to spirit-filled church. Come on. You don't have to come in here and worry that God's going to call you out. He paid for your sin 2,000 years ago. He's going to tell you, if you love me, you find out how much I love you. I've washed your sins away. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Telling you what, man, we can sit around a dinner table and talk about some of that stuff and laugh for hours because, listen, man, I just need to finish. I got 2 minutes. Hallelujah. I just need to finish. Come on, you get anything good out of this so far? All right. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, cut people's ears off, cussed at people, denied people 3 times. Imagine how he felt every time the rooster crowed every day after that. Because remember when the rooster crowed, Jesus looked at him? Wonder what that moment was like. Jesus looked at him just after he had denied him 3 times. And I bet every other morning when the rooster crowed, the condemnation and the guilt Peter felt because Jesus was crucified after that. And yet, Jesus gets up once he's resurrected and the first person he comes to see is Peter. And he said, Peter, do you love me? And then he asked him a second time, Peter, do you love me? And then he asked him a third time, Peter, do you love me? He said, because every time you rejected me, I'm giving you the chance to say, that you love me. In other words, when Jesus shows up in your life for every mistake you've made, Jesus said, don't worry about it. I can restore that and make it brand new. And listen, just a few days later, this one who denied Jesus three times, this one who was cussing and cutting people's ears off, he stood up on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God was poured out, and he preached the gospel, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. He didn't miss out on the greater things that God had for him just because he had messed up. And here's what you need to hear. Just because you have messed up doesn't mean that God can't forgive you, God can't use you, and he doesn't have greater things for you. Just because you've missed the mark doesn't disqualify you. It makes you human. It makes you in need of a Savior. But actually, it qualifies you in humility to say, Jesus, I need you, but I believe you still have greater things for me. Come on. If you believe it, somebody say amen. Amen. All right, here's my last point. John chapter 2, in the Jesus came to the wedding feast, and they ran out of wine, and Jesus' mom comes, and she said, Jesus, the wine is gone. Wine in the Bible is significant. It signifies the power of God, the miraculous power of God. And so she said, they're out of wine, do something. And so Jesus said, not my time, but he says, okay, because she kept asking him. How many of you know moms can be persistent? And so he says, go get the water pitchers and fill them with water. They bring him the natural water, and then he prays, and he turns the natural water into wine. And this shows us that God can turn your natural into his supernatural. Come on, somebody. Woo, I'm glad he can turn my faithfulness into a blessing. I'm glad he can take my tithe and turn it into too much. I'm glad he can take my service in church and turn it into a miracle for my family. I have found out that God can take my natural and turn it into his supernatural. Amen. And so he turns the water into wine. In other words, here's what happens. So the master of the feast, he tastes it. And he said, normally they set out the good wine first. And then after everybody's a little tipsy. Y'all know what tipsy means? Buzzed? I don't know. I'm not saying to do it, but I'm saying that's what they were doing. Because you can't drink all the wine and not have some effect. Come on, somebody. You need to read your Bible. So they were all a little happy. Maybe not drunk, but feeling the effects of that good wine. And then the party's over now because the wine's gone. The celebration's over. But now Jesus gets involved. They bring the wine that he turned, the water into wine. They bring that to the master of the feast. And he said, normally you set out the good wine first, and then after everybody's have had their fill, then you set out the inferior wine. But you have saved the best wine for last. Because when Jesus gets involved, the best wine is always in your future. In other words, Jesus is saying to you and me, the best wine, the best power, the best miracles, they haven't been poured out yet. Because when I get involved, the best is still yet to come. Come on, can anybody believe with me that we're about to see the best wine poured out that we have ever seen? Wow. Wow. With Jesus, we have not seen the best. Someone say greater things. Greater things in your marriage. Greater things. Give God's word to you, to us this morning. There is more. God has greater things. We've got to begin to believe for it. And here's what I'm saying. Greater things in your marriage. Greater things in your finances. Greater blessing. Greater favor. Greater anointing. Greater glory. Greater revival. Greater outpourings. Greater amount of people coming in and being saved. Having their lives changed. Greater amount of marriages being restored. Greater amount of people being healed. How many of you know nothing's too hard for God? But if you want to see the greater things that God has promised, we're going to have to change something about the behavior of this church. Because this church used to be incredible. That when God said something and gave us an opportunity, we would go after it as a church. We would pray for it. We would believe for it. But then now as the church has grown, it's easy to come in and to go out and think someone else will pick up the slack. But what I have found is that God is looking for the few, but he's also looking for entire churches. Because the more that the entire church does, the more blessing God can pour out. And so here's what we're going to do. Does anybody want to see greater things? I'm telling you, I believe this is a word from God for us. Right here in the middle of summer, Pastor Randy talked to us last week. He said, He said, I feel like we're going to come together as a church. Pastor Randy is the pastor of Celebration Fresno, Clovis, and Madera. We're Celebration Salinas. And he said, we're going to start meeting on Wednesday nights right here in the middle of summer. And we're going to come together and we're going to go after God. We're going to stir up hunger. Hear me. We're going to believe for greater things. Now listen to me. Listen to me. This is so, so important. Because if you are just a Sunday morning Christian, then all you're going to get is a Sunday morning blessing. If you want more from God, you're going to have to choose to readjust your schedule and say, for the next 3 or 4 Wednesdays, I'm coming together with my church, 7 p.m. Do you guys have that, summer nights? Someone say summer nights. The next 3 or 4 Wednesdays, we're coming together, summer nights, and we are going to have praise, worship, and prayer. Take about an hour. We're going to come together. We're going to stir hunger. We're going to believe God together as a church for greater things. Someone say greater things. Whatever it is you need, if you need a healing in your body, if you need your marriage to be worked on, if you need financial breakthrough, if you need something, a change of career, you need whatever you need in your life. Church, I am telling you, God is giving us an opportunity. Someone say opportunity. How many of you have heard this? The opportunity of a lifetime must be seized in the lifetime of the opportunity. Did y'all catch that or was that too fast? Sometimes if I don't say it fast, it's hard for me to say it. The opportunity. No, church, this is not me trying to sell you a bill of goods. This is God saying to you, I am setting before you an opportunity. Remember what he said? He said, I set before you blessing and cursing. Choose life. He says, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. I set before you an opportunity celebration to see this church go to another level, to see your family go to another level, to see your life go to another level. And all it's going to take is your faith and you adjusting your schedule to be here for an hour in the middle of your week to show, prove to God, yourself, and any enemy that's coming against your life, I am hungry for God, and I am believing him for greater things in my life. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all were just standing and shouting and wanting to run when I was being your cheerleader, and now I say, now you know what? We can do something with this. Church, I need you to know something. As a pastor, we have seen, my parents, myself, our staff, we have seen God do miracles like a $900,000 manifestation in this building simply by a church that says, you know what? I'll give God my Wednesday. We could bring some of the greatest voices in the nation to this church, and we have. But the only reason we're going to do that is if our people are hungry for God, not hungry to hear another preacher. Because when the God does send them, we've got to know that God is the one giving them the word and our faith is in him. Come on, somebody. Amen. And listen, church, we're dreaming. As a staff, we are dreaming for other campuses. We're dreaming to see those that are been sex trafficked have a home where they can come and be healed, be delivered. Single moms, a home for them. Orphan children, a home for them. You ought to ask Pastor Karen. You give her $10 million, this whole city will be saved in 10 months. Because she has the heart of God in her to see those who can't help themselves, to see them helped by the power of Jesus. So as we are dreaming, we need a church to dream with us and get off the sidelines and get in the game. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's the best I know how to do. And church, I'm not asking you for anything crazy. I'm asking you, come pray with us. Come worship with us. Come meet together with us. And let's believe God. What can God do? Amen. I believe that as we do this, in the next 3 to 4 weeks, we are going to see, hear me, the next 5 months of this year completely transformed. And what the enemy meant for evil will not happen, and God will use it for his good. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity to know him this morning. If you're here this morning and you've known Jesus, but you're far from him, there's some things you need to get right in your heart with him. Man, his heart, his arms are open wide to you. He loves you this morning, and he has a great plan for your life, and he does have greater things for your life. If that's you on the account, either one of those accounts, if you will raise your hand, we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. In this moment, know His love is real. His love is unconditional and unending for you. On the count of three, if that's you, lift them up. One, two, three, lift them up. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes. Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else says, yes, that's me. Pray with me. Come on, you're not alone, church. Yes, I see that hand. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yes, that's me. Pray with me. Thank you, Jesus, for every person. Come on, church. Let's pray this prayer together as a church. Come on, say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And by your grace and with your help, I turn away from my old ways and I turn to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's rejoice over every decision that was made. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.